You're listening to highlights from OTBAM, Off the Ball's new daily breakfast show. It's live every weekday morning from 7:45. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube or Twitter, or listen live at offtheball.com.
Delighted to say we're joined in studio, myself and Owen, by Gareth A. Davies of The Telegraph. Gareth, thanks so much for coming in. An awful lot to talk about. And we're going to talk about what's coming up in the Three Arena in a few minutes' time this weekend as well. And a massive weekend last weekend for UFC, and one that they probably desperately needed for the brand overall. But I don't know, it's so easy to use the cliche and describe it as a war of words. I'm not quite, it has got to that stage yet, involving the three heavyweights. We're talking about Joseph Parker, Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua. But we know that one of these three fights is going to happen at some stage over the last 12 months. Which do you think is the most likely to happen at this stage? Wilder, Joshua, Parker, Joshua, or Wilder, Parker?
For me, the next fight will probably be Joshua and Parker. But, you know, there's a kind of complex algorithm going on with, we're at the stage that we've got, as you say, there's three names. They're all young, undefeated heavyweight champions of the world. And what's going on behind the scenes now is the whole business of jiggling for who can make the most money out of the few fights that are coming up. We know that Wilder and Joshua is a massive money fight. If it came to the UK, it's probably the biggest grossing heavyweight fight of all time. In the USA, it's not such a big deal, but it might be a good opportunity for Anthony Joshua to make a name for himself. But the thing is, I was over in New York. I went to Wilder on Saturday night. Mm. I went to his sixth defence of the...
And what did you make of him?
Well, I mean, there wasn't a lot to make of it. It was two minutes, 59 seconds of, I'm going to bash this guy with...
It was very brutal.
But Bermain Stiverne was... What was he, 17, 18 pounds heavier than when he first fought and lost the title to Deontay Wilder, you know, kind of 17, 18 months ago. But also, he didn't look up for it. He was earning £503,000 for this kind of effort, if you like. He didn't land a punch. Wilder landed 15 heavy punches, knocked him down three times. And he's, what is he, 39 with 38 knockouts. Ooh. And he's knocked out every person he's fought now. The problem is, you know, we don't... With Anthony Joshua, at least he's had a Vladimir Klitschko test in front of a massive audience under great speculation. You know, if he breaks a toenail, people want to know about it now. But I think we don't really know about Wilder. I think those guys will fight. I think it will be in the summer. I think Eddie Hearn and Joshua are trying to get Wilder over to Wembley Stadium. That makes sense, a June-July fight. But you never know with these things. If they go to different TV companies in America, that keep them apart. It's a very complex algorithm right now.
I'm actually quite surprised that Stiverne's corner didn't actually just throw in the towel before that last barrage of clubbing punches from Deontay Wilder. And I use that adjective quite deliberately because it's quite unusual and it is absolutely brutal to watch those clubbing... That clubbing right hook is incredible. Yeah, exactly. He almost hits him with this part of the hand.
Yeah, he does. There's nothing coming back.
That's true.
There's nothing coming back.
That's what I'm about to ask. Would Joshua get himself into that position? I presume not.
I don't think so. I mean, what I will say about Wilder is he's very nimble. He's very fast on his feet. He's a great mover. But we just don't know what his chin's like. We also know that Anthony Joshua's gone down in sparring as well to heavy shots. So, look, it's all to play for. I mean, Larry Holmes I spoke to a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, look, in our time, if you want to be the champion, go out there and just face the guys you want to face. The problem is they all think about the commerciality of themselves now, the financial benefits. And, you know, I do, even though Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua say they want to fight everyone, they will want to protect this unbeaten record because he's crossed over right now into a different realm. And whatever you say, the casual fans, the fans that come to big events, the ones that don't really follow fight sports per se come because this guy's unbeaten and he's got 20 stoppages. And in a way, you kind of almost need to keep that going, even though we know within sport you do lose. But those people drop off once someone's had a loss. So they will try and protect him as long as possible.
It kind of brings me to my next question, because you said at the top that we have these three young heavyweight champions, and not only that, they're from three different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And they almost encompass the entire circumference of the globe, because we've got a Kiwi, we've got an English guy, and we've got an American. Mm. And it's not something that the heavyweight division has been in a position to enjoy for so long. We've had some really dodgy world champions, or it's been absolutely dominated by the Klitschko brothers. So for boxing as a whole, how important is is it that they mould these rivalries, that they get these three guys out front and centre so the world can get to know them as a trio and maybe get some of that sort of triumvirate of rivalry that we had in the 80s and the 70s with some of the greats?
Well, it's you've hit the nail on the head. It's if they have good fights, if they have fascinating fights, they can fight more than once, and that's the problem at the moment. That, you know, there is a danger of all the time of someone becoming dominant, and then, you know, they do their mandatory challenge, then they have a voluntary defences. What needs to happen, in my view, is to stop it becoming a farce again, to stop it becoming a slumbering division, which it was under Vladimir Klitschko, is they just need to get it on, if you know what I mean. You know, and not worry about, you know, the long-term financial benefits and this, that and the other.
Does that dilute in some way the relevance of the unbeaten record then? Because if you do lose, if you put in a place where these three guys are going to fight each other twice. So if you do lose, yes, the zero beside your record's gone. But at the same time, we've seen the greats of the game come back and take out somebody that they lost their unbeaten record to. And it just adds to the mystique of the whole thing.
It does add to the mystique. It completely adds to the mystique. Look, heavyweight boxing is a different sport almost to all the other weight divisions. It generates a different interest. I mean, any of your viewers today and your listeners, you got viewers and listeners.
Oh, yeah, we're live on offtheball.com as well today. We've got the audio as well.
The thing is, you know, I urge anyone, just go to a big heavyweight fight and see it live at some point in your life, because there's nothing like it, you know. There's nothing like heavyweight fight. When you kind of 18 stone men going at each other, the heavyweight division will become a farce if these guys don't face each other by 2019. Mm. It's as simple as that. 2018 is a very, very important year for boxing.
It's unthinkable, though, isn't it?
No, but it isn't. I mean,
would
I know
you think
it's unthinkable.
It's genuinely possible.
Of course.
I mean, it's just become an absolute joke.
I think, look, Parker will be looking for a big payday. Eddie Hearn went into talks with Parker's people yesterday, but he also went to New York to speak to Shelley Finkel, who's Wilder's lawyer that works with Al Haymon, who runs the kind of show behind the scenes. But, you know, the likelihood is that, I mean, we haven't talked about Tyson Fury yet either, and, you know, the likelihood is that hopefully, from what we're seeing, he could be in the mix by the end of next year if he can get his weight down and get fit again. He's a very important figure for me in all of this, because they'll all want to fight him as well, and he'll want to fight all of them. And I think, technically, he's the best boxer in the world at heavyweight.
Let me throw David Haye into the mix at some stage as well, if he can get past the second fight with Bellew. And
I expect him to. Do you expect him to get through the second fight? I do, if he's fit. You know?
Well, it's all down to his fitness, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the current profile of
Anthony? He lets you talk every now and again.
He does, sometimes, yeah. So
as rarely as possible.
What's Joshua's profile like over in the States at the moment?
I think it's just a kind of a vacant type of curiosity. I remember being at a press conference earlier in the year for he and Vladimir Klitschko in the atrium of Madison Square Garden, and the American media were eating out of his hands. I mean, they were lapping up his every word. I mean, he's a lovable man mountain, basically. You know, if Paul O'Connell was a boxer, he's that kind of size, you know. Mm. But do you know what I mean? O'Connell's a gentleman as well.
It's very hard not to like.
It's very hard not to. He's this beast on the field. You know, and Joshua's the same. He really goes for it in the ring, yet off it. You know, he'll even lean in and go, "What do you think, Big G?" You know, and he's got this charisma about him. He's already developed this charisma. You know, people handing their babies down to him to hold. No, but those are Ali. Those are kind of iconoclastic Ali things that people want their people to touch him. There's something about him. I mean, the American media really loved him, but I think he needs to go over and do the chat shows and resonate in America and probably get one or two spectacular knockouts over there. I mean, the Wilder fight over there would be very big. I mean, having been in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn on Saturday night, yes, he's got a following, but, you know, they say that there were 10,500 in there, but maybe only 6 or 7 were sold, and it was papered in some ways, that, you know, they sold out the arena with very cheap seats and the staff were there. It doesn't surprise me, but, you know, on the other hand, over here, Joshua's selling out stadiums 70, 80, 90,000 because it's an event. Mm. And Wilder doesn't have that resonance. If he had a Mike Tyson-like resonance over
Wilder
there...
Wilder needs Joshua more than...
Oh, absolutely. Joshua's the A-side in all of these things. I mean, Joshua is definitely the linchpin to them all making money. They all want to fight him. And he's vulnerable, of course, because he is still defensively weak.
Yeah.
You know, he showed that against Carlos Takam.
That's what the point that Joseph Parker and his camp are making as well. The UFC had a massive week last weekend, didn't they? And at some stage, they need to move on, don't they, from Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey era of UFC fights, because they need some new personalities. And it was probably the best card of the year. Three title fights, all won by the three challengers. And I'd put it to you that they need more events like this. They need more nights like the one they got last weekend if the brand is to continue to move on to the next level.
Well, I'm here covering a Bellator stroke Bammer event in Dublin. That's why I'm here at the moment. And I'm kind of wandering around the city this morning with the brilliant MMA royalty, Royce Gracie, who is, has one of the most curious minds I've ever been around. He choked me out last week, by the way. It was midnight. And he decided he was going to choke me out. It's like, I am going to choke you out. And I'm like, where did this come from?
After how many seconds?
I didn't take long to tap, believe me. He slides it in like some anaconda. And all I can say is it feels heavenly, but the fear is extraordinary. I know he's on your show tomorrow as well, and you know, which is brilliant. But the thing is this, you know, Bellator and Bama, Bellator's really growing at the moment. And I think it's starting to challenge the UFC, and it's a different model. You know, it's a subscription model, it's a free TV model, whereas the UFC is very much a pay-per-view model. So they're all about their stars being shouty with their projections, if you like. You know, that's why Ronda Rousey being beaten by Holly Holm was a big blow. Conor McGregor is huge for them because he has such resonance as a kind of an instigator of things, a catalyst for noise and you know, demeanour and all those kind of things. So for them, it was fantastic that the three aggressors, if you like, the three champions who are more aggressive than the challengers last week in Madison Square Garden lost, because the quiet martial artist won in those three bouts. You know, TJ Dillashaw beating Cody Garbrandt to win the UFC bantamweight title. The almost savant Rose Namajunas beating Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the Polish girl who looked like she was never going to be beaten, of course, and my old friend Michael Bisping getting beaten by returning legend George St. Pierre. It sets up a few events, and like you say, they really needed it, because they are a bit hollow in terms, I don't want to say hollow, that's unfair, but they do need those stars. You know, this $4 billion sell-off last year, they're reinventing themselves in some ways. Lorenzo Fertitta isn't there anymore, who was guiding a big, big ship, a juggernaut, if you like. So they did need that. And, you know, as I say, Bellator are signing up a lot of the UFC fighters that don't want to wear Reebok all the time or out of contract. And it's great because you need that. You need like an HBO and a Showtime, a Sky Sports and a Box Nation. I don't know who your rivals are. Let's punch them right now. Let's not mention them. Here, don't mention the rivals. Don't mention them. But you need them, don't you? Yeah. You know, you need that competitiveness. And that's what's great about the sport at the moment.
Just on that point, obviously, it's great to have another huge event. I think the first time Bellator and Bama joined up together was actually here in Dublin last year.
That's right.
Like, it's great for Bama to be involved with Bellator because, like, people who aren't familiar with the sport obviously might not have heard of Bellator, but people within the sport know how huge this thing is. And as you say, the stock is only rising.
Well, I mean, look, what an incredible move. Like, Viacom, you know, who are media conglomerate, they buy Bellator wholesale because they know they want it as part of their youth programming. They know that mixed martial arts is resonating across a new generation. You know, it's a big thing now. Many people are turning to jiu-jitsu as a lifestyle. You know yourself, Straight Blast Gym, SBG here, John Kavanagh has become like a godfather for mixed martial arts, the development of mixed martial arts in this country. And not only that, it's great for that community. I mean, the boxing clubs are still running. But I think when we see the growth that there's been in Ireland, what you've done brilliantly here is your people who've developed in the sport have stayed here. Yes, Conor McGregor's kind of exported to America a little bit, but the Straight Blast Gym has stayed as like a centre of excellence for developing mixed martial arts. In the UK, I think our guys have tended to go over to live in America. Even Darren Till, who's just emerged as a star in the UFC, spent 3 years training in Brazil. You know, Michael Bisping went over to America, Ross Pearson, Dan Hardy. The development has gone that way as opposed to staying in the UK. I know because I hosted and co-hosted on BT Sport for 3 years, the UFC coverage. And it is growing, but it's very slow. Yeah. That's why Bellator are here in Ireland, because it's a given market. you know? I mean, I'm not joking. Having covered it myself, boxing for 25 years and MMA for getting on for 15 now, when I come to Ireland, I can't go out without bumping into people that want to chat MMA with you all the time, and boxing, of course. But, you know, it's a staggering generation that love this sport here. Yeah. It's, well, you know, it's a hotbed for sport, Ireland. And when the Irish fans are into it, they are pound for pound the best in the world.
It's going to be a great night. I imagine the Tree Arena is packed out at this point. Just one last point, because I know we're out of time. I just want to ask you about Carl Frampton, because he's back in the ring on Saturday week. He'll be the first person to describe 2017 as the year from hell for Carl Frampton. How quickly do you think he can get back to within a title shot, and how capable do you think he is of actually achieving that?
He only needs this homecoming fight, sure, and then he's into title shots. You know, look, he was the Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year in 2016. He was the only one I had, and I think they had, in the top 10 pound for pound in the world. He had an extraordinary year before that. It's been very tough for him. But I think he's made the right move, going to be the big fish in a smaller pond with Box Nation and BT Sport, and be the kind of, you know, be the primus, if you like. Yes, it has been annus horribilis. I don't think it's the kind of word that he generally uses. He's not a big user of Latinate kind of acronyms. But but I think with Carl, he's clearly got the skills. Maybe he needed a change of scene. I was very shocked, as I'm sure you all were, when the McGuigan kind of axis fell apart, because well, they were like family, weren't they? And but you know, he's a tremendous athlete, a great man, and he's sure to be back. We'll see him in two or three world title fights before he retires, I'm sure.
Gareth, if we had another hour, it wouldn't be enough.
That's true. Why are we leaving?
Yeah. Thanks so much for making the
absolute
time to
pleasure.
Come in. And listen, enjoy the weekend, enjoy Dublin, enjoy the fights and the entertainment of the Three Arena on Saturday evening.
It's hard not to.
It is. Brilliant stuff. That's Gareth A. Davies of The Telegraph giving us his thoughts on all things boxing, heavyweight, UFC, and indeed Bama and Bellator. Thanks a million for making the time to join us on OTB AM this morning. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow. I think, is it Owen Adrian back in the hot seat tomorrow morning?
Unfortunately.
So you'll have to deal with him in the morning. They might give me another go at some stage. And of course, don't forget tonight, we're live at the RDS. Peter Schmeichel headlining our acts tonight on our Off the Ball roadshow. So an awful lot to look forward to on offtheball.com and on FM over the course of the rest of the day. We'll chat to you later, and we'll see you in the morning.
You've been listening to a highlights podcast from OTB AM. If you want to watch us live, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube every morning from 7:45 a.m.